Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And, it's these are the facts.
Well, I mean, that got me to the other thing that I was going to bring up with you before we let you go. Today, the Pac-12, I guess, sure.
Oh, yeah.
They announced a television deal with CBS. And so I'm sitting there going, okay.
Time to jump! No, go ahead.
Munz, did you see what it included?
What?
Specifically what?
Yeah. Y'all ready for this? Three football, three basketball games, the conference title game, and some stuff on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
And maybe some stuff on CBS Sports Network. Now, what this has brought me to all along is I do understand fan frustration of wanting to see a new league and whatnot, but this was my whole thing where I felt like the Pac-12 with their media blitz and how they tried to really like apply pressure publicly to all these schools, it just made you realize like, Munz, they have no plan.
Yeah. You know, I'm doing this on the fly because it just occurred to me. So bear with me just for a second here. The way I read it, it's at least three football games per season on CBS proper, and it's at least three basketball games regular season on CBS proper for the whole league.
Correct.
Per season. The rest are either on Paramount Plus or CBS Sports Network. Do you know how many times Memphis men's basketball played on CBS proper, not this past season, but the season before, 2023-2024, which was the David Jones, Javon Quinterly, Jordan Brown, the season that everybody knows and loves.
Yeah,
How many times just Memphis played on CBS proper that season?
Probably three.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Three times Memphis by themselves played on CBS proper not even 2 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, like everybody who was clamoring for, you know, taking Memphis to task for not blindly jumping at the Pac-12 last September, Memphis just made $11 million from the AAC, and that was the most of any group of five program this past athletic season, and it will be more than what the Pac-12 anybody in the Pac-12 will make next year, or is forecasted to make next year. And Tim Pernetti came out recently and said that that is less than what Memphis will make next season. Memphis will make more than $11 million next season. So, yeah, like. I know it sucks for the fans. Like, do not get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah. No. You and I are on the same page here. It's like what I found as that whole process was going along, I found myself getting angry at the Pac-12 people.
Right. Yes, for like, it's almost like, yeah, they were like shaming. It was, some form of shaming was going on, that, you know, like that they were engaged in, because it was like they were making it seem like everything, like it was going to be Shangri-La, and anybody who passed on it was foolish for doing so. When, again, like I said, I know it sucks for the fans, for the Memphis fans. Like, there are so many Memphis fans who do not, who would rather be playing Boise State than North Texas, or, you know, San Diego State, or Gonzaga in basketball now. But the, it's just, the money doesn't make sense. The money does not make sense. You are making, Memphis is making more money by staying put as it stands now. Memphis is making more money by staying put than they would be if they had jumped. And it's, that's just, you can't argue with that.
My favorite last part of this deal: financial terms for the agreement with CBS Sports were not disclosed.
Yeah. Which is, you know, that's usually how these things go, but still, it's, that will be the, that like when that, when those are finally disclosed or revealed or reported, you know, that'll be really interesting to see where, to see it, to see how their opinions change, or if they change at that point.
Munns, we appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. When we come back, we get into the list. We'll get back into a couple other questions from the NBA Finals. We'll also do a TV timeout as well when we come back during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. Yeah, the NBA Finals. All right, as Kevin had mentioned earlier, we now have the fast national numbers. The first NBA Finals, Game 7 in 9 years, delivered to the league's largest audience in six. Sunday's Pacers Thunder NBA Game 7 averaged 16.35 million viewers on ABC and ESPN Plus per Nielsen's Fast Nationals, marking easily the most watched NBA game since Game 6 of the 2019 Finals, which was Raptors Warriors 18.59 million. No NBA game in the intervening years had reached even the 14 million mark, with the Warriors-Celtics Game 6 in 2022 coming in closest at 13.99 million. Also, Austin Karp of Sports Business Journal said, here are some comps for last night's number to put it into perspective. It was below the Texas-Georgia SEC football championship game in December, which was 16.6 million.
Close, though.
Close on that. It was above the Notre Dame Georgia quarterfinal game, which was an afternoon, you know, we had the horrific incident on January 1 in New Orleans, so they moved it to January 2nd. That was 15.8 million. It was also almost even with the Houston Duke national semifinal back in April, which was 18.3 million.
So a few things here. One thing to make sure you're wondering, we just got done talking about the stadium upgrades, but like how important and big college football is, right? Like, so if Memphis can ever
get on the number two sport,
right? If Memphis can ever get on the right side of conference alignment, wherever that is, whether it is the Pac-12 or whatever, like you have potential to have a lot of eyeballs on it. Like, it is number two. It's more popular than the NBA, because the NBA is most popular game of the entire.
We had past a game 6 years, seven.
Yeah, past 6 years got that rating. But also it makes me think, can we put it into this small market conversation? Is it more about the stars? We've always said the NBA is about the stars. Is it the end of it, or was it game seven that did it? Or like, because game seven is a force in sports.
It's a game seven, so therefore you're going to bring in casuals at a higher degree because it's a deciding game. Also, it was a Sunday night with really nothing else going on, but in general, game seven is kind of the what sells it.
It was definitely part of the draw. But what do you think in with this conversation about small market, and that's what a lot of it was going into, and it's a very relevant for Memphis because we were going to be a small market. Would that be the conversation if Memphis is playing the Pacers? There would be a small market, but I think it would be like Jaws, just so polarizing and charismatic and electric. Like, is it the stars, right? Is it the stars that matter?
My gut is yes. I think a lot of the coded small market talk is largely that. Oklahoma City really, like, we weren't talking about Oklahoma City as a small market when they had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Like,
you have the polarizing stars that...
I also think another thing that is clearly impacting this, to what degree, I don't know. But there is a huge problem that I see of the legacy people that are covering this didn't know what to do with this. And I don't know if they were bored by it. I don't know if they... I never think like there's like some meeting where it's like, all right, let's set the agenda and we're going to talk bad about Oklahoma City and Indianapolis because they're not glamour cities. I don't think it's like that. But what I think happens is these people have been so conditioned throughout their entire careers of this sport is generated and this sport is dominated by stardom. And like that's the David Stern going stat or this David Stern stat that's been going around. In his 30 years as commissioner, he handed out the championship trophy to 8 teams. In Adam Silver's 12 years, he's handed out the trophy to 9 teams, including the last 7, which have all been unique champions. And so what I think is, like, you've been so wired to think, okay, these are the teams that matter. Like, we focus on them. And then you get to the finals, and it's 2 teams that you don't expect, one of which makes no sense to me. I don't know how you could be surprised that the Thunder were here. But I guess I can at least meet you halfway and say, all right, I can get how you were caught off guard by the Pacers. Yes, their record since January 1 was the second best team in basketball, but still entering into the playoffs, everybody thought Boston and everyone thought that Cleveland would be one of the two teams that would represent. And so you get caught off guard there. But I do think part of this is they didn't really know how to like sell it. They didn't know how to market it. Like they didn't know how to present it.
Which is bananas because you're not prepared for it. I don't think that anybody in covering the NBA was prepared. Nobody was. Nobody predicted at the beginning of the year what we would see from the Indiana Pacers. So like what,
despite the fact that they were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Right. True.
But I mean, that's, I agree.
True. No, like, you're right. But but the moments in the underlying stories, just even from starting with Halliburton's dad, right? Like we had so much that they were giving that you could have told a story and figured it out. But like because it was not what was predicted, and for so long the NBA was the most predictable.
Yeah. 100%.
Of all the pro sports, it's not now. But like the unpredictability should be great. You should be excited. Like. This job that we have here, Jeffrey, like we don't know what we're going to talk about. You can kind of predict what you're going to talk about tomorrow, but you know, the draft's coming or what we're going to talk about today. But like part of the fun of it is reacting and seeing the new stuff and that develops. And in this postseason, I mean, it was great for the Pacers and obviously great for Oklahoma City. They've got their championship. But I feel like the market thing matters for TV ratings in theory, right? The idea, it matters because there's more people watching from the home area of rooting interest. So you want to be in New York. So you're going to have millions of more people interested in what is happening that would otherwise not be interested in what is happening. So that's why the market size matters. It matters from the business perspective for them. But the conversation, it gets had so much outside of just thinking about, it's just about dollars, right? It's just about dollars.
Yeah.
And like,
I mean, it's become also this weird.
It does help because, the brand. The market size helps your brand.
But
and
like
the brand
basketball,
matters.
Basketball has become a proxy for the culture war. And so I think ratings get brought up more frequently with the NBA because it can be used in that argument. Like, so I was looking it up.
All right.
The SEC championship game, Georgia and Texas last year at 16.8 million was the 100th most watched broadcast of last year. So this would not have cracked the top 100 as a game 7.
Right. And nobody said there's not, there's, you know, the NBA does, I'm not saying they have a problem, but I do think it's, Well, I guess so. So if it was game seven, and it was Pacers.
So like, for instance, Pacers, George, versus... could you look up the game seven between the Cubs and the artist formerly known as the Cleveland Indians? I want to say it was like 40-something million. And obviously, like, the Cubs snapping the streak was a big deal, but like,
right.
That was a like, you see these game sevens, it's not irregular to see like a doubling or a tripling of the audience size.
Game seven between the Cubs and Cleveland drew approximately 40 million yeah. viewers ooh, ooh, in ooh. 2016. Most watched World ooh. Series game, period, in the past 25 years yeah. from that point. So that goes back well into the late
90s. Yeah, and you had the Pacers going, you know, you had these, but yeah, the Cubs are a force. Game seven matters. No doubt about it, game seven matters. But at that point, other stuff doesn't matter as much. If it was game seven with bigger markets in it, the audience would have been bigger. I mean, that's true. Well, like, but why does it matter? Like, why does it matter to me if more people in New York watched the NBA Finals game or not?
It doesn't. It should.
You know,
like,
it does to them, you know, but...
I've always thought it's a weird argument of... It's why do I care whether or not other people are watching something I'm enjoying? Why you know what I mean? Right. There's most things in my life like I don't really care. I would be curious to know though, if Halliburton hadn't gotten hurt, would that have changed the rate? Like if we would have gotten into the fourth quarter and it wasn't an 18-point game. And because oftentimes what really impacts ratings is if it's a close
fourth quarter. If it's a blowout game, it's fourth quarter matters. Social media, this day and age, social media drives ratings. So, like, if you see something great is happening on television, how many times do I, you know, especially in this streaming era and you're having to push this button to this button to that button to get to where you want to go, like, if you see something on social media that something cool is happening on television, you're going to seek it out. You're going to turn it on. And there was not that moment last night. You saw the injury and then you were told – nothing is cool happening on television. The Thunder are going to win this.
Yeah.
You don't need to tune in.
Well, I mean, that was the weird thing also of last night. It's like when the Thunder got up 18, everyone's like, well, this is over. And like, I don't know. The weird thing that I was thinking about was when did y'all finally feel like, all right, it's over? Because there was a moment when even when SGA picked up his fifth foul,
mm-hmm.
and I think at that point it was a 12-point game. Yep. And there was still about 5 minutes left. And Oklahoma City was out of timeouts. And Oklahoma City had been struggling getting the ball in. I did not think it was over then.
No, I didn't think the game was... I was getting there, but later... Not even later on in that game, but throughout the fourth quarter, the way that Indiana was kind of being sloppy with the ball, the amount of like...
The fact they couldn't score. The fact that it felt like...
They went that long. That's when I gave up. Like when they went as long as they did without scoring.
There was that 9-0 run early in the fourth where I thought, okay, things are might start to spiral a little bit. They kind of clamped down on that. But then some of those sloppy turnovers they were committing there, the Pacers, that is, in that fourth quarter, they were kind of falling into the trap that OKC just does where they were filling up the passing lanes. So many of those tip balls were going their way. There was that weird shot, not shot, that went out of bounds off of, was that Neesmith?
Was it Neesmith or Nembhard? I always do
I'm pretty sure it was Neesmith.
I think it was Neesmith.
Where he goes up for the shot, it rolls off of his forearm and goes out of bounds.
They challenged that one.
Challenged that, and I kind of didn't understand why. The replay was very clear on that. But at that point, when the turnover started to pile up and the points off turnover started to pile up, I was like, ooh. This might be about done.
Okay, so this was the other thing.
I mean, I think I gave up a little bit earlier than y'all, but the...
And maybe like maybe I was just like hoping, like, just give me something interesting.
I would not have if Halliburton was playing. So, like, it does all kind of tie back to his injury. If he was still there, I would have been thinking they had a shot until the final minute, no matter what the score was, but...
Could it also be like an NBA problem? I mean, how many times in a lot of these games do people, maybe not us because we're fiends for this, end up watching the first quarter and then saying, okay, cool, I can turn this off, and then just tune back in when there's 2 minutes left and then everything happens?
I think there's probably an element of that. I do think if you're making me, like, I have to pick one explanation and defend it, I think the one explanation that I would have is I think the Thunder in general are boring. And I also don't mean that.
I know that as a fact. Like, you say you think it, I know it.
We don't say that as a bad thing, though.
Yeah, like, I'm not pointing the finger at them. If I'm running a team, SGA is exactly who you want to be your best player. Like, you don't ever worry about anything. Like, he's clearly good enough to lead your team. And so, but because of that, oftentimes, like, what the boss wants isn't what's most interesting for us. And there, it was tough because I feel like also, even though I found the Pacers team fun, and maybe that's where the national NBA people did a disservice, I never felt like we got like a right positioning of, hey, this team is fun. This is a real underdog. This could be the underdog story of underdog stories. It never felt that way.
Well, and that goes back to, and I don't know if we're talking about it now or we're going to get into it now or what, but like the ABC production of it is, and we were always trying to figure out what's the issue here? Why are we not feeling these finals the way we're supposed to feel these finals? Like, it's, we know there's the game happening, but it's always been just, it feels like, and it's all about feelings, right? It's too stat driven. Like, it's just, everything is too, they would give me stats and I'd not tell us the personal stories of the under, like, if it's an underdog, we need that underdog story to be told to us in some type of a video package. And instead it's like statistics and numbers are presented so much more on these ABC broadcasts of the NBA.
It almost, it's not just statistics.
But I'm saying that takes up the little amount of time that they have. But like the halftime show.
To your point, it feels like vomiting of statistics to prove what I know.
Right.
And it's exactly. Like, okay, well, a lot of times that's just going in one ear and out the other for everyone.
Well, you know, and some of it can be educational for the person tuning in, right? You want to kind of know some stuff, but you need to know the story. You need to know the story. And there was, I felt like, a great story really on both ends of the court for this. But, like, is the NBA really going to tell the story of the Thunder? And, like, to me, there's a story, you know, like, what's going on in Seattle this weekend, you know?
Sure.
Like, what are they feeling? And the story of the Thunder and how they adjusted their, you know, shifted from the guys we just mentioned, Durant, when they had, you know, they had their big three and were able to rebuild and reprocess under this current state of the NBA. There's a lot there, statistically. But the story of the Pacers, there was a lot they could have told us about on the broadcast and beyond, but that's not how it's done right now for some reason.
Yeah, they tried. Do y'all remember during the third quarter when they, it was another one of those segments that we were talking about with CJ where you're like, what is the point of this? They had a montage of like pictures from the Thunder during the Durant era.
I think I saw, yeah.
There was like pictures, like, I didn't know what story they were trying to convey, but it was kind of like a look at the past and look at this now, and then all right, back after this.
Oh yeah, they did the middle of a commercial break or like, something. Yeah.
They gave no context.
Yeah, I was like, well, what was the point of that? Like, they had Breen doing the voiceover, and it was, I don't know, it was just like, what was the point of that?
Yeah, they didn't add any stuff. Like, hey, they used to be here, and now it's like, they left. And
but they didn't even show video. They just showed, like, here's some pictures.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay, cool, man. Like, I didn't really know what to do with any of that, but I still think it kind of boils down to, even when something's new, because I was thinking about this last night. Did y'all feel like last night was the beginning of a Thunder dynasty? Because this was that weird thing for me, which is I felt like they were the best team for most of the year.
No, without a doubt, you did, yeah.
I did not feel...
You didn't keep it a secret.
I didn't feel better about the Thunder after last night. I didn't
feel better about the Thunder after the playoff. Like, I mean...
Yeah, playoffs in general,
yes. The Grizzlies series, there were moments you're like, oh gosh, they're pretty dominant. But also there were those the Grizzlies games that they lost at home at FedEx Forum made me question a little bit of the Thunder's dominance, right? But by the end of it, I don't know. Do they have the right coach? Do they have the right, like, it factor?
Well, to your point, like with Degno, everyone keeps telling me he's elite. Why am I not sold?
Because they,
I don't think he's a bad coach. Like, you
as
know what
dominant
I mean? Like,
as they
it's
were.
Like, I just feel like you could give that roster to 50 yeah. different coaches.
Yeah.
And we would have gotten the same result.
I mean, that's the NBA, though. That's what a lot of people think in the NBA.
But, like, I came out of the series going, the better coach is on the other bench.
No doubt about it. Rick Carl, yeah. give him any day of the week you want him coaching your team.
Now, like, granted, he's got a title. And
Pop is done. He's the best coach in the NBA, I think.
It's like him or Spoelstra. I mean, the self-righteous one.
Not bad. I'm fine with Spoelstra.
I like Ty Lue, but, like, I don't know. Like,
I don't put Dagnall in a top five.
I mean, the point is the Knicks would have fired any of these coaches.
Yeah, well, that's my point. Or they would have tried to hire them and then
right,
got told
they
no.
Right, that turned down, yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, that was the whole thing.
They tried to hire them all.
Because what last night really reflected to me is, and I know I've been harping on this for a while, but I do think we need to get to a point in which we need to acknowledge winning a title is not some type of pejorative. Like, I think we are going to be in this era where it's going to be way more year to year. And, like,
and that's the parity is here. And I think what's interesting is the comparison to the Spurs that we're getting a lot with the Thunder. Like, oh, they're going to kind of just be under the radar great and win a lot over the next. And that's only because they're boring like the Spurs. I think that's the reason we're saying that. Like,
and
we're in a different era.
Presti was involved with building the Spurs.
Sure, yeah.
Like, that's the other connection.
So there is a connection.
Like, But
a smaller southern city with no other major sports team, yeah. and the stars great but quiet. I mean, there's a lot of comparisons you can make, but just because of that doesn't mean that's going to happen with this, because the coach is the big difference between them and the Spurs.
But maybe it is a style of play issue, because it felt like when the Warriors won in 2015, that was like. I remember in real time thinking, like, oh, this is something.
Yes.
This was not just a – I did not feel like last night I was like, all right, here we go. We are in the Thunder – the era in which the Thunder are going to win 4 out of 5.
Well, you watch Friday Night Lights, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, clear eyes, full heart, can't lose. I did not feel like that the Thunder were playing with that, the mantra of, like, clear eyes, full heart, can't lose. It just didn't
No,
feel
it was
like
clear eyes, full heart, play not to lose.
Yeah, play – exactly. And it – It's not a stat that you can, but you could just watch it happen in the body language of both teams early in that game. And like you said, even after Halliburton went down, it was kind of we have extra reason we can't blow this.
Well, like, but I was also wondering, though, is part of the reason we feel this way because their offense feels really clunky? Like, I had this thought. Did the Grizzlies... Because, you know, like, we always go back to when the Grizzlies lose in the playoffs, half-court offense, half-court offense, half-court offense. Like, I did find myself wondering, like, I think part of the reason why the Grizzlies are in the position that they're in right now, which is they're so unathletic, and they made this concerted effort of, we have to be better in the half-court, we've got to get more shooting.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, it's like they were focusing so much on offense that you let a lot of defensive talent walk out the building. And, like, last night... What did they shoot from three? It was like 27%.
It was bad. Yeah, it was like 20, maybe 28%. Yeah, 27.5.
And like I just kept wondering, is part of the reason why it doesn't feel like it's the beginning of some dominant era because they're not just elite offensively? Like, why did I feel differently about the Warriors? Well, they had Steph, and when he'd come down,
they were elite offensively. Yeah,
but like when you looked at their numbers, like they. They were always a better defensive team than they really were offensively in terms of their championship style.
Well,
and then it gets
it was showmanship, I guess.
There's definitely a flash element. There was it was an element of this is awesome.
Right.
Could it also be in 2015 that style of play and that level and type of shooting was relatively new to us? And we're thinking no one else is really doing this at the same level that the Warriors were doing. Whereas with the Thunder, this goes back to you saying it could be a style of play thing where they just play hard-nosed, gritty defense, turn you over, and then when it gets to the half court, okay, main guy, one or two, be that Jalen Williams or SGA, here's the ball for 24 seconds, make something happen. That's not new by any means. There's no novelty to that.
The reason why I'm asking, though, is it something about style of play, or is it really just as simple as they bore us?
It could not be both. I mean, those two things kind of go maybe hand in hand.
I mean, there's a lot of like the Thunder logo, their fans. There's a lot of things that are boring about the Thunder. It's a boring team, but on the court, off the court, it's just boring. And
but they're like that's the problem is they might be boring, but they're still really good. Clearly,
yeah.
Well, they're the best. They just won. The issue was when we got here, like, you know, playoff basketball is different. We always say that, and the Thunder looked different under the playoff basketball microscope in a way. Like they were not as dominant. When they were dominant, they were dominant still in the playoffs. Like they were still blowing people out, and the score was unreachable at times. But they did not show that they were unstoppable. They showed a weakness and that they were not unstoppable. In this postseason, and to the point where we all believe they could have lost last night at home.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, okay, when we saw Jokic and Murray win a title, you're like, all right, here they go. Here's their run. Okay, well, they don't have a title since. They haven't really threatened since. They've had a couple of good teams. With Boston, we knew it's like, okay, run it back. Now they're in this weird financial situation, but they didn't repeat. And now with the Thunder, it's like, okay, if you set the over-under at 1.5 titles, including this one, over the next 5 years, I think I might take the over. But if you set it at 2.5, I'm taking the under.
And that's just the era that we live in,
yeah,
though, right now.
I think that's and where people are struggling. Because that was
with a young team that has achieved – so either these young teams, you achieved this early, like, what does that mean? How do you react to that?
Right.
How hungry are you
like
for more?
Next, they can run it back again next year, but then after that, they got to pay people.
Right.
And no one's like really figured out what the right balance is. Now, I understand.
Hey, you know, I don't know what Stephen A. Smith has to say about this, but there was a shooting close to the Oklahoma City's arena last night.
I saw that. I did not.
I don't know if NBA players want to go to Oklahoma City.
That's a great question. Speaking of, we gotta give our final review of ESPN in the playoffs. So let's do that. We'll do a TV timeout next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP.
It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
All right, Kevin, now that we've gotten to the conclusion of the NBA Finals, I thought I'd read you a couple of stories that caught my attention.
Yes.
And I think this might be where the think pieces are heading. Over at Awful Announcing, Ryan Russillo cracked up mid-podcast over ESPN headline comparing SGA to Jordan and Kareem. NBA's Finals coverage... this is also from Awful Announcing. NBA Finals coverage from The Ringer was everything ESPN's wasn't. Then from Sports Media Watch, we had... Sports Media Watch was the one. The NBA is going to be better off without Stephen A. Smith. So, now that we've gotten to the conclusion, so George and I were going back, I believe... Starting in game five, they added the NBA Finals patch to the jersey, and they were putting it on the back, like kind of like right below the lower neck. So they added that. I believe Indianapolis painted the Finals logo for game six. Last night, the Finals logo was back, but that looked computer generated to me. And I believe starting in game five, we had the introduction of the starting lineups that was added, that was televised, that was an addition that was brought in. George and I talked about it. Clearly, I thought they started turning the crowd mics up as the season went on, or as the series went on. But I think the overall question that I have for you is, who had a good NBA Finals from a television production, and who had a bad NBA Finals?
All right, wait, who had...
So if you're giving out winners and losers,
Winners and losers from the finals. That's hard. It's hard for me to think of winners and losers.
That's kind of the problem, right?
I can think of a winner.
All right,
who we got?
So for me, and this goes into also the rest of the crew here. Mike Breen to me came across as more of a winner than either of his co-hosts. Because those two just seemed like they were stepping on each other's toes the entire series.
They had another awkward moment last night. Where
very awkward.
Richard Jefferson, I think there was about on when the replays about the, would it be upgraded to a flagrant one or two? I can never remember what the numbers are.
This is not the one I was thinking it was.
Well, there was an awkward one where he was like, do y'all see anything flagrant there? And it was crickets, and he's like,
okay, I'm talking to myself.
Yeah, I guess yeah. I'm just talking to myself here. Like that was said over the air, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I thought you were talking about the one where it was the review for the, where you can't review for the travel.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were going back and forth on, is it a travel? Is it a gather? Is it a, you know?
Yeah.
Well, but that's, the only one who kept seemed like any professionalism to me was Breen.
I think he called it a fine series. I can't believe me this. I want to defend the broadcast crew. I think the crew that needs to be reevaluated is not the broadcast crew. Could you improve it? The desk.
Oh, the
the desk has got to be reviewed.
The desk was bad.
Really bad.
Now,
but it's going to be reviewed. The thing is, we don't know what it's going to look like. We know change is coming, and we know inside the NBA is supposed to be getting involved. Now, I don't know if it's just going to be post-game or if they're going to be doing halftimes.
And maybe that is the actual reaction in which ESPN, because part of the reason why I bring that up is because
they knew they had a problem and they're somewhat fixing that by bringing it inside the NBA. And I know some people don't agree with its awesomeness, but I like it and I think it's better than what we've been getting. But there's no time. If ABC is going to sell all of those ads at halftime, you were talking about the momentum of the Pacers getting interrupted at halftime. But like my viewing experience, motivation to keep watching and my momentum and excitement for the game was completely ruined because it was nothing but like commercials and they came back for maybe 30 seconds, 45 seconds, little spots and would go back to commercial for the 2+ minutes of commercial. It was just awful. And you can't put Charles Barkley in that spot. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's any fixing of the desk. Like, even when it went to the desk, as you're saying, it was not great.
Right, because the other thing that I noticed
Remember, like the halftime show.
Stephen A. obviously came under fire, and maybe this is projecting. I don't know, but I noticed this because I'd mentioned it on Friday's show. Stephen A., during the pre and post studio or the desk part, he had his daughter up there. And again, this is nothing to do with her. She was lovely, and it was a good segment. But you went with the human shield element that we see of, I'm under fire, let me have my daughter up here, who had not been on stage once.
And it's important to note. It's important to note because we're here in Memphis, and there's some things that, you know, that we have our perspective. But the Memphis Stephen A. story was a national story.
Correct.
Like, this was something that we put a lot of our attention on last week, but other people's attention was focused on this story outside of just the Memphis area.
And again, I don't know how much everybody else caught last night, but I was in between cooking and I had it on. And I'm watching the pregame, and Stephen A. last night sounded like he was on Quaaludes. So I'm sitting there going, like, did he get a talking to? Was the chirping getting to him? Like, he had a noticeably different atmosphere. And then last night, I felt like one of the biggest, like, own goals ever. You have Bob Meyer up there, who was the presiding VP of players for the Warriors. When Kevin Durant popped his Achilles in an NBA Finals game, they never once even brought it up. Like, hey, you dealt with the same situation. Like, what are they going through? What are they thinking about? Like, that's at least an interesting thing.
Does not get mentioned. Yeah, the expert. You know, he should be the expert on telling you what this is like from the behind the curtain elements of it. And we got no insight.
Well, the other thing, though, to your point, the reason why
there was no time for it either. I think that was possibly
it. But like, that should have been the only question. If you're going to ask one question, like, ask that one. But the reason why I brought up the crew that's getting evaluated, that's what the story leaked. What was in jeopardy is the broadcast team. To your point, though, because they've been pretty tight-lipped on how they're going to do all this, I do wonder if maybe, like, you know, this is just a lame duck studio crew, or it's a lame duck desk crew that you're just going to move on and you replace them with inside the NBA, and it's fine moving on. But the only other person
the regular season games are not, you know, inside's only doing special stuff, so you're still going to have your B team, if you will, and you don't think Stephen A. will want to be on the B team. His middle initial is A. He is on the A team.
Correct.
He's not Stephen B. Smith.
Well, that was the other thing I was thinking about. It's like, have we actually gotten to the point where he has too much going on?
Well, Stephen A.,
was this a reminder of he is spread too thin?
Possibly, but also, like, I mean, we see it with Pat McAfee doing a lot, right? And doing his own show, doing his gimmick on College Game Day. But it feels different when Stephen A. is doing, I guess his gimmick doesn't really adjust and change.
Well,
it's
like,
always Stephen A. is
the only
same
other thing
Stephen
I
a.
can think of is, like, with Game Day. Game Day is allowed to breathe more. Like, is part of the problem that we're talking about was the rushed nature of all of it. But that was the other thing. When I was thinking about the other winners, it's like, it was a reminder to me, like, ESPN's best, like, personality, Scott Van Pelt.
True. Why?
Like, when he was handling post-game stuff, it's like, it was always better.
Yeah. Yep. And you put, there was no, and maybe this is what it is, like, we keep trying to figure out, why did it not feel as special? Did they just don't take time to breathe and to have you soak it in, right? Like, there just needs to be moments to breathe and soak in the moment that is happening. Instead, it is immediately trying to sell you something instead of soak it in, which is, it sounds like, I mean, you've got to sell stuff. And I understand the ads and the commercials and all of that. But, like, there's, for the special stuff, you've got to be able to have a moment to breathe and look around and take in the moment that you're watching. Instead, it's just moves. I sound like an old man here on the radio today.
It does feel like a Royal Rumble where everyone's got to get their offense in and they have 90 seconds to do it.
Right.
And then it's like, you left and you're like, I don't remember any of it. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got to go to Mike Norvell's new quarterback, Thomas Castellanos, about the week one matchup against Alabama. They don't have Nick Saban to save them. I just don't see them stopping me, Castellanos said. That's not really what you want your quarterback saying. Week one, like, before week one. Like, I mean, you're going to be like a 17-point underdog. Again, I just... we appreciate confidence.
Shout out to Mike Norvell.
Shout out to Thomas Castellanos. My thanks to Jason Munns. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.